You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. I am Mike Picanato, and in this series, we are talking with Stephen and Jenny Jones, founders and staff with Exigent Communication. The springboard for our conversations is Stephen's book, Transitions Across Cultures, and his Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook, which can be tailored to fit the needs of cross-cultural ministry organizations. Last week, we started a two-part series with Stephen and Jenny Jones, a look back at some of the topics we've already covered in this series. And so I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to last week as well. As I said at the end of the show last week, it might, if you're just jumping into this podcast, sound a little bit like Stephen and Jenny are complaining, and that's really not what it is at all. It's much more of a reflection on where they're at and how some of the things they thought were going to happen are actually happening or not happening. In the show notes, you'll also find links to the episodes that we are looking back to. If you haven't had a chance to check those out, I really encourage you to do that. And now we'll go ahead and get started with the show for today. All right, Stephen and Jenny, welcome back. And this is the second part of our series on kind of reviewing and going back and relooking at some of the things that we've talked about and tying it in a little more to what you guys are experiencing as you're going through the process. And I find it really helpful. What did you find, Stephen, as you were writing the book and as you were putting that into the process of this Cultural Transitions Handbook? Why did you find it so important for people to review where they were at?
I think one of the things that is a danger with probably most kinds of learning is that you feel like, okay, I covered that once, so I've got it. And with many kinds of knowledge, that's just not the way it is, right? Like, you are coming to it again from a different place. You have new information to bring to it, new perspective, new questions to ask. And so there's more knowledge there than you got the first time. But then I think practically, I have seen people who, and when I say people, I've seen students, I've seen people who have worked internationally long term, and then people who've been involved with traveling for business or other things, that just kind of stop reflecting on what it means to transition across cultures. And it usually seems to me like that is not a decision that leads to health. I'm not sure it's even always a decision, right? I think sometimes it's just something that happens that you kind of feel like, okay, well, I did that once and now I'm good. And I've seen people who are very, it looks very likely to me that what they're wrestling with at the moment is at least in large part connected to culture shock or some kind of transition experience, but they themselves aren't asking the questions that would help them to get the insights to move through it in a healthy way. And so I think just to expect that even if you've already processed it, there's more there. There's always more.
One of the things that we had talked about previously was this idea of the transition zone. And one of the illustrations that I liked the most about this transition zone or the neutral zone was this idea that it's often like a car that is in neutral. It doesn't matter how much you step on the gas, you can't make the kind of progress you're used to because there's no gear engaged. Jenny, how are you feeling that neutral zone, that transition, now that you've been here for a month?
Yeah, I think there's that sense. I think I talked the last episode about, yeah, just the desire to find a comfortable place for my body and just struggling with that. And I think that is part of it. You're just like, I'm searching for normal. I'm searching for where I feel competent. Yeah, which drives the need to learn. Or it can also, I think, drive the need to shelter yourself or hide yourself. So it's like, it's these sort of ends of the spectrum of like, okay, am I going to go out and do things or am I just going to stay in my own little place? And so it's like, if I can find that in between of like resting, and because I think that is a part of it, but also like, what does it mean to go out and do things and learn, but also just trying to find areas of things that I feel competent in. So it's like, okay, I can cook a frozen pizza. That has never been an issue in my life. And now I've burned a frozen pizza. So
it was so, so sad.
It was so sad. And it was just.
And it wasn't one, it was three.
Yeah, they were all, I was like, this is the most disappointing.
Not one of them turned out.
Yeah. This is the most disappointing thing that I've experienced. So, you know, like with things that you're like, oh no, I'm good at this. Like, this we can all do this together. You know, our normal movie and pizza, this is a normal thing that we do. And it's usually tasty and we all enjoy it. And it was like, oh, shoot.
Nope. To be fair, the week after that, you made pizza from scratch and it turned out very nicely.
Yeah, it was better. So, you know, I mean, even that, like, can I do that here? I think so, but I don't know, like, what are things that are going to react differently that I don't know about or I haven't learned yet or whatever. But yeah, I've definitely felt myself like, oh, can I do that here? Like, can I find, you know, my hobby stores or can I find bookstores that I enjoy and can be at, or, you know, can I find those enjoyable experiences again? I don't know, because everything feels so different.
And then by the end of the day, with those kinds of questions running in the background, it seems like most days by the end of the day, you're just really tired.
Everybody's tired. Yeah. You try to check in with everybody and you're like, we should just all go to bed.
And there the challenge is that probably, I mean, for me anyway, for most of my life, output is directly connected with effort. And so there's always something there that's saying, man, if I would just work a little bit harder, mm-hmm. I could get this done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that just, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It's just a waiting game and being patient, but yeah, trying to navigate when you take a step and when you just need to sit still for a minute.
You guys signed up for language school recently?
Yeah.
That was kind of an important part of, I think, my outside interpretation. Can we please get out of this neutral zone?
I mean, so, okay, that would be nice, right? If it did that. But I know that what lies ahead of us is some initial excitement as we get some language. But I know that there is a valley ahead. You know, I know that there's that where you get that some of those initial wins and it's exciting and then it just gets really hard. And so I'm trying not to pre-live that, but I know it's lurking.
Well, I think because that's one of the things that you feel like, oh, if I can just learn a few phrases, I'll be fine. That's not untrue, but it's only a piece of the puzzle, right? Of understanding, of comprehending, but then it's also all of the unspokens, all of the different ways of communicating or understanding a culture that language is only a part of it. So it's like, okay, one step in the direction of like understanding. Here it comes. Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, more frustrating than the valleys in the language learning process, because as long as you're here, you probably won't experience valleys of losing knowledge, but the long plateaus are mm-hmm. super discouraging to
right,
me.
Right.
Because initially the gains will come really fast. And then it's this, you're spending as much time learning, but it doesn't feel like you're making the same advances as quickly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What are maybe some of the beginnings of disorientations that you're feeling?
Well, certainly there's a lot wrapped up in language. So just at a basic level, being able to do pretty much anything in public and not feel like an idiot. You know, it's disorienting. I mean, so we take turns, like when we go to a bakery, like, okay, is it your turn or my turn? And it's all about the uncertainty, you know, okay, how much conversation am I going to have to accomplish what I want to accomplish? And how close is the outcome going to be to what I intend it to be? And how much of the time that I'm in there having whatever conversation I'm having, am I going to feel totally clueless. And it just gets, it's one of those things where I totally knew it was coming, but like actually living it is just, it's hard. It's disorienting. Or times where you realize like, oh, I totally annoyed that person and they made it obvious that I annoyed them, you know? And it's like, yeah, you know, hey, I'm trying. But yeah, I think that has certainly been one of those first areas of disorientation is just, can I function on kind of a daily level without kind of being reminded how clueless I am? For now, the answer is no, not really.
And so you kind of look for ways to make it work. Like right next to where you guys live is a grocery store. And the front end of that grocery store is a little bakery. But you guys prefer to go to a bakery that's a little further away because you don't have to ask someone.
Yeah. Well, so it's more complicated than that, I think. I also don't want to make myself obnoxious to somebody I live right next to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would rather get some basic language before I go in and start interacting with that bakery. Yeah.
But it's a completely natural feeling. Just, I don't even know what that's called. So I'd rather grab something that I don't need to know the name for, use the tongs, take it out,
right,
go and pay for it, than to have to even start with what is that?
So there's this other bakery that's down at the other end of our little street. And both of us have had this experience where there's been a little placard with a label that's been in the wrong place. And we have ordered the wrong thing because we have tried to read what's on the placard. And
so I pointed, which I think I did too.
Yeah.
So I pointed at the thing I wanted and she was like, well, that's
not that. Yeah. So we said the word and pointed at the thing that the placard was next to. And of course, if you know the food, you know that that's not that, right?
Right.
And in both cases, this was maybe 2 weeks apart, but she took the little sign and moved it over where it was supposed to be and said, okay, no, which of these two things do you want? You know, it's like, oh, okay.
Yep. Or even, yeah, the coffee is not a weird word here, but then there's all of the things of like, how do you say the right part of whatever to order the coffee that you want?
And then with COVID stuff, the extra layer of do you want it to go or do you want to stay? And then if you want to stay, there's this whole other complex thing. And so it's easier just to be like, okay, well, I'll just get everything to go. But I don't know how to, you know, it's like there's just really simple conversation actually, but I don't know how to have any of it. It is interesting the practical choices I end up making then that are not my preference. So I try to push myself some to have some of the, like to have some of those experiences and some of those conversations. But then like, especially if I'm tired, which is a lot of the time right now, I find myself choosing not always to go in and like, maybe I want to stop somewhere and grab a coffee, but I'm like, okay, I can't tell whether this is a place that you get coffee to go from or not. And I don't want to have to figure out, you know, the whole thing with COVID of can I stay here or whatever. And and so I just don't get the coffee. I just leave and find a place where I can get it to go.
Or even, yeah, communicating with the school, you know, I know how to do it in one place, but it's disorienting of how to do it here. And who do I connect with to get the answers that I need? So there's, yeah, that sense of disorientation of you just grasping for knowledge. Yeah, and all the different places. And then it's just exhausting to feel like you're continually having to ask for help. You're like, man, I thought I knew this.
I think another area of disorientation that I'm beginning to sense is that on the one hand, so like we've been talking about, we're novices, right? Which is expected in language and culture, in how to function here, how to have, you know, relationships with people here, we're novices. And at the same time, we're, you know, we're mid-career, right? Like I have a piece of paper that's, you know, conveys that I'm an expert in something, you know, like, and as we have been meeting and planning and trying to talk about, you know, what do things look like? I find that there is a lot of tension internally in me of wanting to maintain the posture of I am a novice and also I am an expert. Mm-hmm. And both of those things are true at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I have to be very careful not to let the novice side of it overshadow the expert side. I don't feel like at the moment I've been tempted to go the other way with it of like, well, let me show you why I know so much. And, you know, yeah, I guess catch me if I'm doing it.
I think it certainly helps that we're conducting what we're doing in English. Most of our business mm-hmm. is taking place in English, and we each bring different pieces to our developing, forming Envision site here in Berlin. That's really different than when you're working with a German. And it shocked me then to realize how much that had impacted my own thinking, how lack of communication or ability to communicate sometimes impacts my perception of intelligence mm-hmm. or of competence in other things. And so I have a friend from Louisiana, and he says, every time I open my mouth in the North, people automatically deduct 15 IQ points. Just because he talks slow and with a Southern accent. And how often do we do that when somebody has a Spanish accent or when somebody can't speak English? We assume that they don't know. And that happens here too. And that's when I found myself referring often to what I used to do, reminding people that I am competent. It was nothing to do with them. It was all my own internal issues.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think even interacting with people in our broader organization, having to say, even in the things I'm an expert in, I don't have the lived experience of being a practical expert here. Mm. Right. And so saying, I actually have not put in the work here with this culture yet to be able to comment on certain things. And so I find myself waiting. I mean, I think maybe that's a kind of the posture I tend to take anyway, is to kind of wait and see a little bit before I comment on things. But I'm very aware just of that tension.
One of the things you write about in your book is this idea of a thread of continuity. And I know we've touched, but very, very briefly on it. Well, how would you summarize the thread of continuity?
Yeah, and I know we have a later episode that we'll do more focused on that, but just briefly, it's, and this is William Bridges' idea, not mine, but this idea that after some time, after the transition, really as the transition draws to an end with the new beginnings, that there begins to emerge this thread of continuity, which is the rediscovery of that which has always been true of you. Although often, you know, it's from a new perspective because you have these new beginnings. It's often accompanied by this feeling of, oh, right, I remember that about me. Right? Like, or, oh, yeah, I do like this. Or, you know, like, I do care about people, you know, whatever it is. It often has that kind of sense of re-remembering who we are and have been. But often there's been some feeling of dissonance or distance from that part of who we are. Sorry, that was probably longer than what you were looking for.
No, I think it's good. And because this is an end of the process discovery, mm-hmm. 1 month in is probably too early to say, tell me what threads of continuity have you discovered? But maybe even in what are some of the negative spaces that you're discovering now that could be pointing out what some of those threads of continuity could be, that the absences that you're feeling, that you're saying, I hope that comes back because I think that this is an important part of me. Mm.
Yeah, I think negative space is a good way to think about it. Yeah, and that the temptation to fill it too quickly is actually not helpful.
I think, well, so I just read this afternoon that if you want your brain to
be quick.
Yeah, to make your brain think quicker, meditation is really important in that. And I was like, right, when you don't, and even in a conversation that we were having with our middle child yesterday about noise and just how much noise there is everywhere. Like, yeah, how do we clear our space of noise so that we can hear those things? And I think that, yeah, realizing that yesterday and then sort of in a weird way having it confirmed today of like, yeah, there is so much importance to allowing yourself space and time to clear that of noise, both internal and external, to, yeah, to hear more clearly, think more clearly, understand better, you know, your own internal self and then also others around you. So I think that's something I hope is that I don't fill it too quickly, and a good caution in the moment for me.
I think there is, though, definitely, you know, in it, so in that neutral zone space, which is often very uncomfortable, and we're really just beginning to get into it ourselves in our own transition, like we're still on the early side of it, but there is this temptation to try to rush ahead to the new beginnings and to kind of plant your flag and say, this is who I am and will be and have always been. You know, it is interesting. I may have to give it some more thought about what are some specific ways that that's played out. I think in some ways this last month we've been so much in kind of just the surviving feels like, I don't know, like maybe it's a little over the top, you know. Hope, yeah, you know, we're just working on surviving. But I think in some ways it's true, like the dailiness of life right now has been so intense that I'm not sure we have quite yet gotten to that place. I do know in the first couple of weeks, one of the tension points between us was that I've done a lot of early transitions with other people. Like I've helped other people through early transitions, or I've helped set up teams or groups of students for 2 months, or sorry, 2 weeks to a month has been an amount of time I've been with other people in a space that is unfamiliar to both me and them. And I have gotten really comfortable being very uncomfortable for a couple of weeks and just doing, right? Just mm-hmm. getting done the things that need to be done, which often includes a fair amount of not doing because of the cultural context that I've been in. But it's, you know, a very active not doing, relationally being present with people. And one of the things that I think bothered you, Jenny, was that I was kind of in that mode here.
Mm.
And so I felt a certain amount of, like, for me, that's a place where I feel kind of competent, is being the person who, even though I don't know what I'm doing, gets done what needs to get done. And just kind of absorbs some of the friction and some of the feelings of being the idiot and whatever, and giving other people space to kind of set up shop. And so I was kind of in that mode. And I think for you, that was really frustrating because I seemed more confident than I was. And at the same time, I didn't feel present to you in a way that I probably needed to be to the family, because I was busy just doing the things to help us be okay. And I think, so for me, one of those areas of temptation maybe to try to establish the thread of continuity too quickly would be to say, well, just I'm a person who does, you know, I can quickly move into another place and make it okay, right? And that would be not honest to our process as a family, because I don't know how to make the five of us okay in a new space. I have no idea, you know. It's like, and I think that one of the things that was important for me is to step back from that and be like, okay, like, and maybe even just to vocalize the fact that I didn't feel okay, because I wasn't vocalizing that. I was just feeling it. I'm not okay. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to just get stuff done because it needs to get done. And I think for the rest of you, it's important for me to be like, no, guys, this is super hard for me too, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm. Well, I think even that's the tension, just in different personalities, of how do you process stress differently, and then how do you yeah, as you're transitioning as a family, you're doing it together. And so how do you gently call each other out when you're tired? When there's obvious tiredness that no one is acknowledging. But then I think even on the other hand, I was like, okay, I know my, what I'm more comfortable doing is doing things slowly, taking my time. It'll happen when it, you know, we'll get there. So I'm like, okay, I should fight against that a little bit. So I should let you take care of the things that need to be taken care of so that we can, like
getting curtains.
Right. Like there are certain things that feel like, oh, I want that too. Yeah. But then it's like, what does it mean to take care of each other in that process? And I think that's what you mentioned before. It's you've never had anybody that was like actually looking out for you
right
before in that process. So it's like, yeah, just the different context that we were in this time than what you've been in before.
And so that's where establishing the new and saying this is who I am or this is the way I will function here would be super premature.
Mm.
At the same time, we still got to get through the first month, you know?
Yeah.
So.
So threads of continuity conversations are really hard to have at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you start to see some of those negative spaces, the, oh, I'm missing some of the engagement with my family that used to maybe be true at a different level. Because you're certainly engaged with your family about different things. Like, did you understand enough in school today has a different meaning now than it right. did in the U.S. I mean, mm-hmm. in the U.S., were you concentrating and paying attention here? Did mm-hmm. they actually speak a language you understood in the majority of your classes today? Are different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that difference between busy doing and helping a family transition could be pointing towards a future thread of continuity that needs to be pulled mm-hmm. out, or you'll discover.
I think it's also been good to be a part of our team conversations at this end too, even to be continually reminded in the tiredness that's like, no, this is good. Like there are things like, no, we don't know what all of the details look like yet, but there have been some really good conversations. So it's like being a part of the team has been a good reminder in the process. Yeah, just encouraging.
And yeah, this affirmation that something I expect will be part of that thread of continuity. I don't know what form it will take yet, but it is just this remembering that we are people who are, yeah, in love with Jesus and the gospel and want other people to also be. Yeah, but right now that almost feels like a lot of that functionally is kind of on pause, even though the underlying reality hasn't changed. But I think that's where some of the conversations and team planning and things has been really helpful. Just be like, yeah, no, this is right. This is good. We don't know. We're not there yet, you know, but...
Hey, that's the end of today's episode. Just want to thank you for listening and tuning in. If you're not following us on social media, I would really encourage you to check us out on Facebook or on Instagram. We have a pretty big announcement coming out today. We also have our first team coming this week, and we're super, super excited about that. But with all we've had going on, we have not recorded next week's episode yet. That means we might end up with a slight gap in the programming. And if that does happen, then come back to us in a couple of weeks and we'll be sure to be back online for you with another show to listen to.
Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Piccinato.